Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to catch up with Monsignor Charles Mangan on many things going on through the Marian Apostolate in the Diocese of Sioux Falls, some events coming up and some interesting conversation with him. I hope you will stick around for that this morning. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday in August. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, Father Timothy Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Peter. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, TOTUS TUIS teams fanned out across the diocese this summer, including a week-long stop at Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Parish in Dante and St. John the Baptist Parish in Wagner. During that stop, the junior high and senior high school youth of the parishes enjoyed presentations with small group discussions, with the highlight being a time of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and the Sacrament of Reconciliation. The final evening during that week saw them enjoying game time and fellowship with a bonfire. Young people from grades 1 through 6 of the parishes also enjoyed a fun-filled week of summer catechetical formation by the TOTUS TUIS team. You can read and see more about the TOTUS TUIS effort in the diocese in the August edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, calling a proposed piece of legislation discriminatory, the head of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Migration called on the President and the Congress to reject a bill that seeks to drastically cut legal immigration levels over a decade and which would also greatly limit the ability of citizens and legal residents to bring family into the U.S. Had this discriminatory legislation been in place generations ago, many of the very people who built and defended this nation would have been excluded, said Bishop Joe S. Vasquez of Austin, Texas, chair of the Bishop's Migration Committee. In a news release late this week, he criticized the RAISE Act introduced earlier by Senators Tom Cotton, a Republican of Arkansas, and Senator David Perdue, a Republican of Georgia. Other limitations proposed by the RAISE Act would permanently cap the number of refugees allowed safe passage, thereby denying our country the necessary flexibility to respond to humanitarian crisis, said Bishop Vasquez. As a church, we believe the stronger the bonds of family, the greater a person's chance of succeeding in life. The RAISE Act imposes a definition of family that would weaken those bonds, the bishop said. U.S. communications expert Helen Osman has begun a four-year term as the new president of CIGNUS, the World Catholic Association for Communications, based in Brussels, Belgium. An internationally recognized journalist, writer, and communications professional, Osman is the first woman and first North American to be president of CIGNUS. She was elected in June to succeed Gustavo Andujar of Cuba, who was elected at the 2014 CIGNUS World Congress in Rome. He did not run for re-election. In a July news release, CIGNUS said that as president, Osman will focus on strengthening the association so members can communicate their inspiration and ideas more effectively and put into practice the mission of CIGNUS to transform our cultures in the light of the gospel. Osman had held different responsibilities in the field of Catholic communications in the United States for over 30 years. With students gone for the summer, some campus ministries across the country focus on conferences and mission work and prepare for thousands of new freshmen as the fall semester approaches. For the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS, their ministry spreads beyond campuses during the summer, taking college students on mission trips around the world. A national outreach program that sends missionary to college campuses, the fellowship led several trips to Ecuador this July. Kelly Kuzma, a rising senior at the University of Dallas in Irving, Texas, traveled with the program to minister and volunteer in San Vicente, Ecuador. Kuzma, a theology major, explained that with a desire to serve but a limited time frame, the fellowship's summer mission trip worked out well for her. After 2 weeks of catechesis and manual labor, Kuzma said that transitioning back to everyday life has come with its challenges. That's one of the hardest parts, the transition from an intense couple of weeks and a lot of work, intense encounters with all these people, and then you have to go back to daily life, Kuzma told the Catholic News Service. They were really good about talking about how mission is all the time, and it's just kind of carried out in our daily life. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview.
This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Monsignor Charles Mangan, who directs the Marian Apostolate for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Monsignor, been a while since we've had a chance to catch up a little bit.
Yes, Gary.
So welcome back.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
I know that you have some regular listeners who hear you on another program, but I also understand that's on a bit of a hiatus. So we're going to take advantage of that and welcome you back to Catholic Views so we can catch up on a few things here. First of all, I want to talk about an unusual and really kind of special event that's coming up August 22nd at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. Patricia Cordell, who is a member at St. Michael's Parish in Sioux Falls, will become a consecrated virgin. And I think that is it's certainly not a common thing and something that maybe some folks don't even know exists.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit and how that comes to be.
Yes. Patricia has been thinking about this particular vocation for some years. Consecrated virginity is a special gift, we would say, that God gives through the church to a woman who wishes to live this gift in a public kind of way. And so what Patricia will do on August 22nd in the cathedral is she will be part of this consecration. And it's interesting, Jerry, because she makes her consecration in the hands of the bishop, our local bishop, Bishop Paul Swain.
Okay.
So consecrated virgins, because of that, have a very particular, specific relationship with the local bishop as well as with the diocese. So a kind of beautiful fatherly daughter relationship develops, and this is manifested especially in Patricia's spirit of prayer for the bishop, for the diocese, her support of the bishop and diocese, and similarly, the bishop's support and concern in a spiritual way for her. So as you say, a lot of folks perhaps today are not very familiar. This is something that really came to light again around the time of the Second Vatican Council, so 50 years ago. But consecrated virginity is not in any way foreign to the church. It actually existed many, many centuries ago. But for a while then, when we had more and more religious orders, it really fell into disuse. And now, thankfully, in the last five decades, we have really seen it grow again.
So most people are familiar with consecrated life in the form of belonging to a religious community. This, another variation of how to do that.
Yes. And I think, Jerry, it's instructive here because many of our parishes will pray at Sunday Mass, Mass on Holy Days, for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Now, mm-hmm. that's a wonderful intercession mm-hmm. and intention. But perhaps a little bit more precise would be vocations to the priesthood and to the consecrated life, mm-hmm. because consecrated life is really the umbrella under which we find religious institutes, which we all know mm-hmm. here in our diocese, so many of them, secular institutes, which we don't know so well, but which are men or women who have also professed the vows of chastity and poverty and obedience, but perhaps do or do not live in community, and also have some particular apostolic work.
Okay.
But then let's not forget, Jerry, consecrated life is also the whole notion of hermits and hermitesses. So men and women who go off by themselves under the direction of the local bishop in order to live a life of prayer and solitude and penance.
Again, something very ancient in the church that we don't hear of as often today.
No. And in the United States, we do have some, mm-hmm. but it's not a plethora. It's not a very large number. And then finally, this category called consecrated virginity. So I really think one of the great gifts since the Second Vatican Council has been this reemergence of consecrated virginity. And I pray that it will continue to deepen.
All right. This is a public event. People are welcome to come.
Yes, 10 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, August 22nd, which happily is also the feast day of the Queenship of Mary, which is, of course, so incredibly significant and related because, of course, Mary is Virgin of Virgins. And so I know Patricia is very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as many of us are who know her,
yes.
She's a wonderful woman, and I'm excited for this step in her life.
I am too.
Yeah, very much so. And happy to hear about this. And again, our purpose really in talking about this, other than to congratulate Patricia, is to note again that variety that exists. We sometimes limit ourselves, don't we? We don't think big enough.
Yes. Well, it's like the whole notion of missions. You know, many of us grew up with the idea, and it's not a wrong idea, but that the missions are priests, sisters, and religious who go to foreign lands. And of course, that's true. But a much wider, and I think a much truer notion, is to say that all of us, by way of baptism, is a missionary. And we may do that in the backyard. We may do that at our local school, at our local workplace, at our parish on Sunday, so forth.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit broader understanding of what missionary life is about.
And I think that's a helpful thing to understand these days, in particular as Pope Francis calls us to be missionary disciples.
Yes.
Right? So we need to understand what that means.
Absolutely. He's always telling us we have to leave our comfortable surrounding and look for people who need to hear the voice of Christ.
Yeah, very much so. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear about that event and helpful to know about that event again on the 22nd, if anyone would want to attend 10 o'clock at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. This is a topic we've talked about before, but not for a long time, because I know there was a little bit of fog around some of this, but we want to return to this idea of your work as a missionary of mercy. This began during the Year of Mercy, designated by Pope Francis, but it extends, and now you have some clarity about what that actually means.
That's right, Jerry. As many of our listeners will remember, one of the great treasures that we've had in the last few years, thanks to Pope Francis, was the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, or sometimes called the Holy Year of Mercy. And during that year, Pope Francis desired that priests would be chosen with their bishop's permission, or if they're religious priests, with their superior's permission, to go forth and to do two things: to hear confessions and to preach about divine mercy. So with Bishop Swain's permission, I was one of the missionaries of mercy, that actually we were told was going to stop the day the Holy Father closed the door in November 2016, so about 10 months ago. But then, shortly thereafter, we heard that the Holy Father intended in some way to continue, and that if any missionary of mercy had his bishop's permission or superior's permission, he could continue this work. So I spoke with Bishop Swain, and he was approving of it and wrote back to Rome. And we just heard that the Holy Father has reconfirmed many of us to continue in this role, preaching about mercy and hearing confessions primarily.
Is this a way for all of us to continue to hear about the year, not just the year of mercy, but what it means, that the fullness of that sense of understanding God's mercy?
I believe that's true. And I'm sure the Holy Father knows in his heart that mercy is one of those things that we never tire hearing about, nor do we ever tire experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you know, the Holy Father has left no stone unturned when it comes to preaching about this notion of not only sharing mercy, but first of all, knowing that we ourselves have experienced it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a topic that, even though we hear about it frequently, we just have a hard time getting. I think we just can hardly believe that God could be so good.
Yes. Yes. And perhaps we're the ones who limit ourselves with this, and perhaps even try to limit God at times, not thinking that I'm worthy enough, not thinking that I'm good enough to have his mercy. And of course, Pope Francis says, it's not about worth. It's not about individual worth. It's about God's incredible, unspeakable, unfathomable mercy.
And to that point, it's not about us. It's about God.
Yes, it truly is.
Yeah.
He's the one who calls, and we're the one who will receive and is invited to receive. So it's a great thing. And as he said so clearly many times, Jerry, during the year, he said, before we try to dispense mercy to others by way of the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, we first have to acknowledge that we're the ones who have received God's mercy. And only because of that is there any hope of our sharing it with others.
So what do you see happening now that you have this bit more clarity about continuing in this role as a missionary of mercy? How does that play out?
I think that at the initial stage, it's a chance again to remind people what this is, and also to remind the priests and deacons and consecrated of our diocese and laypersons that I'm available to be part of any kind of outreach in terms of mercy, be it confessions, be it preaching sometime in the parish. A number of our parishes have parish missions. They have other things like this. Also, I think on a national level, it sounds that bishops and others are welcome to go out and to ask a missionary or two to come to their diocese or place, wherever it may be, and be part of this continuing expression of the importance of mercy. So I think one of the things is the Holy Father perhaps has left it somewhat open as to what happens on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there will be creative initiatives and opportunities that will come forth as the time goes on.
Well, I expect our pastors and our parishes are looking from time to time. They're looking for ways to, you know, to put a little energy into the parish or to remind people of certain aspects of the faith, and mercy being one of them. So to bring in somebody and your availability to do that is a blessing.
Yes, it really is. And it's just another opportunity to serve. It's another opportunity to be present. And I'm certainly happy to do whatever I can.
Yeah. Okay. And best just to, if they have interest in that, just to follow up with you directly.
By all means.
Yeah. Individuals or parishes, for that matter.
Be very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. One of the things that's been ongoing over the last several months, of course, is the celebration of the centenary of the Fatima apparitions. We are, as we record this and as people hear it, probably about a week away from the August 13th, when the apparition the apparitions happened on the 13th of each month for six months.
Right.
So Let's catch people up a little bit about what's been going on, what you still have planned Marian Apostolate.
Yes. Well, Jerry, as you know, it's been another gift from God through Mary, and thanks to Pope Francis, to have this opportunity to think about a very important, significant event in the life of the world and the life of the Church. 100 years ago, our Blessed Mother came to Fatima with the message of prayer, conversion of heart, doing reparation for sin, as well as the whole notion of doing what is sometimes called our daily duty. Some authors like to use the phrase living out our vocation, our personal vocation. So in the context of this, we've been trying to explore just what does this mean. And here in our diocese, we've been so blessed to have had many opportunities for prayer, for a discussion, for learning, and so forth. We're going to continue that. Mm-hmm. Pope Francis, of course, in May 13th, which is the actual feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, went there and canonized the two youngest seers, Jacinta and Francisco Marto. And so they're now St. Francisco and St. Jacinta. And what a gift that's been in the life of the Church. The Holy Father is continuing every so often with reminding us of the 100th anniversary. And as you said, here in the diocese, we continue to do some things. Many of the readers of the Bishop's Bulletin will notice that we've been having 3 rosaries a month outside at the Mother's Garden here in Sioux Falls. I know that parishes throughout the diocese are doing various things, and I've been privileged to participate in some of those events as well. And then we also have, during October, we'll have the annual public rosary that we do in Sioux Falls at McEnany Field near O'Gorman High School. That will be on October 15th. We'll have more details as the time goes on. And then Bishop Swain has given permission for Dr. Carrie Gress, who is a young writer and young philosopher, mother of 4, to come to the diocese and speak about Our Lady. That will be in November. So we've got a number of things, and thankfully the Bishop's Bulletin is always a great place to present what's happening and contact information so that people can feel free to join us.
We'll try to make sure that the diocesan calendar on the website also has all of those dates of things coming up on there, and that's a way for people to stay in touch with that.
Yes.
Why is it important? And I know you've sort of touched on this a little bit, but I want to kind of drive it home, I guess, for our listeners. Why is it important for us 100 years later to celebrate this, to remember this?
I think, Jerry, because it's just like the Gospels. You know, the Gospels never we never get to a point where the Gospels are not relevant and pertinent. And the same thing with the Fatima apparitions, because as Fatima has been called, it's nothing more than the Gospel in miniature. Fatima adds absolutely nothing to what Christ presented in the Gospel, but it's, I think, another presentation 1900 years after Jesus did, mm-hmm. Through Mary, his mother. So I think the reason we come back to this is because, just as in the theme we talked about earlier with mercy, we never plumb the depths fully. There is something still more to learn, something more to experience. And so during this year of Mary, Fatima, we're still being reminded that prayer is always vital, conversion of heart, making reparation, doing penance for our sins, living out our vocations. We never get to a place where we can say, I've always done that, or I've done that enough. It's now a chance to renew our efforts.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that. And what I love about the Church and about, frankly, about God's gifts to us in so many ways is he keeps trying. He keeps trying to find the way to touch us.
Yes.
Whether it's through his mother appearing in all kinds of different ways, in all kinds of different centuries, to all kinds of different people, or whether it's through the saints' lives who have touched us in some ways, or through just reading the scripture, as you said, and you can read it, you know, a different way every time. Something touches you differently every time you read it.
Yes.
That's just God continually trying to get to us.
Yes. And he uses everything at his disposal. And he never tires, which of course in itself is a great reminder for us that we cannot slacken our own efforts to reach out to people. Yes, we get tired. God never gets tired. We don't know everything. God knows everything, true. But he never tires. And similarly, we have to do the same, mm-hmm. and do all we can, despite our own human limitations, to reach out and to share Christ with others.
Well, and you mentioned these two new saints. Now, if one is not familiar with their lives, there's another opportunity. They may be saints that would really touch the lives of certain people.
Yes.
That's kind of the whole point of these, of having declared saints, is that they can enlighten us. They can show us the way.
Absolutely. And the thing about the saints, too, as we know, is we have older saints, we have younger saints, we have wealthy saints, we have poor saints, we've women saints and men saints. We've got the whole gamut over 2,000 years. And so with that in mind, we can see it's a multi-splendored church. It's a multi-splendored reality of God's love and mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So lots of resources out there to help one understand these things a little more. I don't know if there's any particular books on these two new saints that you might recommend.
You know, Jerry, what I found helpful on the Vatican website, there's some biographical information about Jacinta and Francisco.
Okay.
www.vatican.va. And there's a helpful way you can scroll down and look for the Congregation for Causes of the Saints, and you'll find a number of things. You'll even get to see the homily that Pope Francis preached on May 13th in Fatima.
Excellent, excellent. So that's a good resource. There's all kinds of other resources, and I know you yourself are so willing to be a resource if people have questions.
Definitely. They can always contact me here at the Diocesan Pastoral Center, Diocese of Sioux Falls, and very happy to share. We do have a number of things that we pass out.
Yeah. And again, a number of events coming up. We'll try to make sure that they're on the calendar or on, maybe on your website directly.
Yes.
And maybe they already are. I'm not sure. But check out the diocesan website, sfcatholic.org. And Monsignor, always great to talk about these things. It kind of gets me fired up.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's wonderful, isn't it? So many great things.
Yeah, absolutely so. Monsignor Charles Mangan joining us this morning on Catholic Views. Gene, in the little bit of time left this morning, I want to remind people, if they aren't aware, that the anniversary masses are coming up.
The first one is later today at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls, and then 2 weeks from today in Aberdeen at Sacred Heart Parish. It always draws a big crowd of married couples from across the diocese. It's really an amazing thing to witness, to see that many years. And Bishop Swain, who celebrates the masses, he always mentions the cumulative number of years of married life in the cathedral or in the Aberdeen parish at the time of the masses. It's always an amazing number, and it's an amazing crowd. It's going to be another blessing for the diocese.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just such a sweet event to see these couples who are obviously still so devoted to each other, regardless of the number of years they're celebrating.
Exactly. It's an exciting liturgy. There's no doubt about that.
Beautiful event. All right. Well, I think that's our time for the Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you next Sunday.